Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter here to take you through the Week 15 slate of games and look back on a barnstorming Thursday night football. Could that number one seed in the AFC slip? Does it mean that Patriots might get back in there? And what's going to be happening throughout this weekend? It's all coming up on the Gridiron Show! Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter in the studio alongside me. Ollie, nice to see that we are both fully embracing Christmas Jumper Day at TalkSport.
I love yours. Yours is great.
Thank you, mate. I got it from Tesco for about £11.
You've got a mountain on there. You've got a gondola lift.
It's basically a skiing Christmas jumper, but with a gondola lift across the top, and the cable of the gondola lift is fairy lights which light up.
Oh yeah, they do light
Alan
up.
Alan Brazil absolutely loved it this morning.
Are you sure he loved it? Or
he literally, I came in the studio and he laughed as soon as he saw that I was wearing a Christmas jumper, and then he mentioned it on air. He referenced it. He went, "We'll Gav all Christmased up," and I was like, "Al, you haven't seen the best bit yet." Flicked the little switch for the lights, and he just went, "Ho ho ho!" Like a big drunken Scottish Santa. It was delightful.
Drunken Scottish Santa. That's great. Yeah, all right.
And you're wearing a QPR one, which is just cool.
Yep.
Well done, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm pleased. I'm proud of you.
It's got hoops. That's the main thing. No wonder you like it.
Sorry. Stand up and turn around.
Hoops on the arms.
No, it does not count. You are not hooped. You are doing what Reading shamefully have been doing since about 2008 and going with stripes, not hoops. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, you're right.
And when you're right?
I'm right. The Biddle.
Who are you pointing at?
The Biddler.
Oh.
Kitty Biddler.
Oh, God. No. No talks or inside jokes, particularly when they sound like that.
Okay, fine.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to look at all the Week 15 action. We're going to look back on Thursday night football. The Chargers come down from a 14-point deficit with less than 4 minutes of the game to go to win 29-28 over the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to rattle through the weekend games, plus get the latest odds with our friends at Red Zone. Nope. At redzone.bet. That's exactly what it is. No, I keep... They've changed the name. And they've made it a better website name. It's now just redzone.bet instead of redzonesports.bet. But I just have to check myself and make sure I say it properly.
And you did it, and that was fine.
Well done, me. Ollie, have you had an eventful week at all?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so it's the TalkSport Christmas party.
I really thought about ripping the audio of Adrian Durham talking about you on air from both the start of the show and then your apology later in the show. Then I realised that was effort. And if people really want to hear it, they can go on the TalkSport website and use the Listen Again feature. Thursday's drive show.
I'm surprised the sometimes inept, sometimes good social media team haven't put it up somewhere. Because it's something, 100% something they would normally do. Yeah, I didn't make it into work yesterday. Not because I was particularly hungover. I just slept all the way through everything because I didn't get home until maybe 7 or 8 o'clock.
You were working till 10 p.m. That's one thing to mention.
Yeah.
So you went out afterwards and met everyone when they were already all bat-finked.
Yeah.
And then I understand that the sports bar team, Adam, Sam, Jason Cundy, Little Cundy, had quite a bad influence on you, got you in the casino, and that was it.
That was it. I didn't gamble. I'm not a gambler, but...
Well done, buddy.
I am a heavy drinker when I start to get going. It's when you start mixing.
You're like a ball going, you're like a boulder going down a hill, a very small boulder, but you just gather that moss and you start to pick up pace.
There's no stopping me. Tizzerano and apple and mango and which is glorious.
What's wrong with you?
Pints of Stella. It was an absolute nightmare.
I have still not drunk since the Gridiron Tour with Touchdown Trips, the Pacific Coast Tour. You can check my blood alcohol levels if you want.
Don't need to.
Today, Wednesday would have been a test if I'd ended up out, but I didn't.
That was the right move.
Similarly today, there's the TalkSport 2 drinks, which start as I finish my show. So that's also going to be a rather interesting call.
Well, I must have missed that email.
Yeah, well, you probably did miss that email because you don't read your emails.
Plus,
or
I'm
answer your phone or texts.
I'm not on the TalkSport mailing. Yeah. TalkSport 2 mailing.
So all of this
And I don't
indicates.
Work for TalkSport 2.
There you go. what was particularly funny is the producer of the show. Initially, I came upstairs and it was about 4:15 the hour you were meant to have arrived into work. And I'd been in a few hours at that point. And the producer just went, have you heard from Ollie? And I love that it came immediately at me because, you know, it's me and you.
Yeah.
She just assumed that, you know, I was going to turn around and go, well, he was still there when I left bed this morning or something. You know, she was like, have you heard from Ollie? I was like, no, I've not. He's not read any of the WhatsApps or anything in any of our groups for like the podcast and stuff. And she was like, he's gone completely missing. He's and you could just see the presenter of that show sitting there, looking not particularly happy with the world. And yeah,
he hates things like that.
At about 4:15, 4:20, which is around about the time you actually woke up and somebody got in contact with you, but the producer came down and asked the guy who ended up covering for you. He'd obviously already been asked, but just confirmed, yeah, we're going to need you upstairs. She walked past me in the studio and I went, any word from Ollie? She went, no, I'm starting to get actually concerned. And I was just like, Ollie's gone missing for like a whole day at the Super Bowl and he's fine, honestly. I just trust he's just asleep. He will reemerge. He'll come out of the cocoon at some point and he'll be absolutely fine.
Do you remember when I went missing at your stag do?
I do. Where did you go?
I was just in my car.
Just asleep in your car.
For some reason, I thought it'd be a good idea to sleep in the car, right? Great.
Very good. Very good. Should we talk about some football?
Let's talk about the football.
Thursday night football, and it was a barnstormer, despite the best efforts of the officials to try and ruin this game. And for both teams, the one thing I will say is that whilst there was one particular drive that put the Chiefs 28-14 up, there were four penalties on that drive, three of which handed the Chiefs first downs. All of them were pretty ropey. Three of them were just hands down not penalties. But the Chargers got a couple for them as well, a couple of holding calls which went in their direction which were bad. It was just so ticky-tacky. Anything that happened in the secondary was a real mess, but that shouldn't take away from what was a great game of football. 29-28, Pat Mahomes doing unbelievably Pat Mahomes things in the first half, continuing to be when you consider that his dad was a very high level baseball pitcher, you can really see some of those sidearms he goes for when he like throws it around a player, when it's like he's throwing to second base rather than throwing to his open man. And obviously Mahomes was brilliant to watch, particularly in the early part of the game, but Philip Rivers in the second half legitimately put himself back into that MVP race conversation because he was superb. The completion to Travis Benjamin on 4th and 8, when he threw that ball before Benjamin had broken out, and it wasn't even a straight break because it was a feign to the right and then breaking out to the left, and he still threw it before he'd even feigned to the right, and it was just into the breadbasket, into Benjamin's hands on a 4th and 8, down by a touchdown with less than a minute left on the clock to get you into the red zone. It was as clutch comes, and most importantly for the Chargers, the kind of game that previously they would have lost.
Yeah, it would have been. And especially when they went for it on 2, you thought, oh my God, they're going to lose it here. They're going to charger it right at the end. They didn't charger it. But
it was very funny when they decided to go for 2. If you go through Twitter about 10 minutes earlier than that, when they're just starting that drive and they get the ball back, they've used the timeouts, they get the ball back on the 40 with about 2:30 left. It's a slew of NFL journalists, including a lot of very low-level journalists like myself going, what's the betting the Chargers go for 2 if they get a touchdown here? Or just wait, we're going to have someone going for 2 in 5 minutes and stuff like that. I think everyone knew that it was coming from Anthony Lynn. He got those cojones out, and unlike the Titans, it actually worked this time.
It was ballsy. But the fact that they were allowed to get into that position, it was a dreadful holding call. Not a holding call, but a dreadful hold on Mike Williams, who missed catching the ball anyway. And to put them on a first and goal with about 8 seconds left, just ballsy, cojones. It was and it was a really, really good game. Both teams had some excellent points to it. And in the end, to make things even more interesting, even more concertinaed at the very top of the AFC, the Chargers win. Chargers win!
And the quick areas we need to give a bit of love to. First of all, you mentioned Mike Williams stepping up. Terrell Williams had a couple of good catches as well, but Mike Williams, 3 touchdowns on the night, 2 catches, 1 rushing touchdown.
God, the pace for that rushing touchdown was brilliant.
From about 25 yards out, and you never had any doubt he was going to cross the goal line. And also caught the 2-point conversion. Stepping up when their 2 leading rushers were both out. I thought Justin Jackson had another good game.
Yeah.
But also when Keenan Allen went down with a hip injury in the first half, much to the dismay of everyone who's in the fantasy playoffs and has Keenan Allen, they still managed to put it together with their top players missing, which is part of what has previously made them Chargers-y. Mm. And there were 4 separate drives that I counted where Philip Rivers took a sack on a first or second down, leaving them in a really bad down and distance situation, and they still managed to keep that drive going. The line did struggle at times, particularly interior, with the guys coming at them with Houston off one end. Chris Jones had 3 sacks on the night, maybe 2.5.
Dee Ford was also spectacular.
And yet they still went and won that game. And it's obviously a concern going forwards that they had those injury problems. But to pull out a win despite those injury problems is fantastic. And the other thing to mention,
Hunter Henry, brilliant performance.
Very good. Very
no
good.
No relation.
Kansas City, just 294 total yards. Mm. Considering they've got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Pat Mahomes, of course. They had as many punting drives as they had scoring drives, and any punts they had no more than 4 plays on those drives. It was a good defensive performance as well. All round, deserved. Chargers win.
What's fitting?
Chargers win.
What's fitting was halfway through the game, I think it was in the third quarter, Tony Gonzalez comes on the comms and chats away, and former chief and all of that. But as he's doing that, and a bit later on too, Antonio Gates, 38 years old, some of those clutch catches that he made to bail out Rivers or help the Chargers move the chains, just amazing. He is amazing.
And do you know what's absolutely massive now at this point? This weekend, we've got not a duff necessarily on Sunday Night Football on TalkSport, but Eagles-Rams with Nick Foles, the Super Bowl winner, coming back in is going to be a big one for them. And are you just getting some stick off one of our bosses?
I think he's liking the...
Oh, he's liking the QPR jumper, right, okay.
But I think there was a bit of passive-aggressive...
On
friends.
The wind-up, yeah. A bit on the wind-up. Basically, you're just going to have to deal with that all day today.
Yeah, that's all right.
So this weekend, we've got Nick Foles against the Rams. I'm not expecting a big upset there, although it is desperation territory for the Eagles, so that might make it interesting.
Well,
but next week...
This all happened last year, didn't it? It was the 11th of December last year that Carson Wentz tore his ACL.
Wow. I thought it was way earlier than that.
Nope, 11th of December. So then Foles comes in as they need something going. He was rubbish up until the playoffs, and then we know what happened. Could it happen again? Could they sneak in?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but the timing's a bit strange, a bit weird.
But next weekend on Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs head to Seattle to face those resurgent Seahawks. That is going to be huge.
Chiefs with an extra 3 days to prepare for that, though.
And also, the main reason I'm saying it's going to be huge is because obviously the Seahawks can get knocked off by the 49ers at Levi's this weekend.
Do you know what? I think that could happen.
Don't put that thought in my head, Ollie.
Honestly,
Hunter.
I think it could happen.
Look, if they fall to 8-6 and the other teams around them win, it becomes very interesting at that point. But right now, basically the Seahawks have to lose their last 3 games if they're going to miss out on the playoffs and have other things go against them. I don't think that's going to happen. But if they did somehow go to San Francisco and lay an egg, it would make week 17 fun.
Buddy, I think it's happening.
Don't. Stop it.
George Kittle.
Anyway.
1,100 yards so far.
Right.
The next nearest is 393. George Kittle.
NFL Draft, a couple of other bits of news. NFL Draft heading to Vegas in 2020.
100%. Matt Sherry, editor Matt, is already booked that entire week out to go there and cover it.
I have absolutely zero interest in going to that.
Do you know what? I'm not a Vegas person, but I think it's right up Sherry Street.
100%. Also, thanks for your message, mate. Just got your message. Just getting coffee around the corner. Thanks, buddy. You must not have been in any way connected to your phone because I just got that. 15 minutes into the podcast. Is it good coffee?
Yeah, it's really nice, actually.
And they've announced the home teams for the international series. I mean, all to be expected. Chargers, Rams, Jags, Raiders. So the three people who are in temporary homes, plus the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are dedicated a London game every season. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are hosting the Super Bowl next after Miami. So all five could have easily been predicted. The Bucks were the only ones we weren't 100% certain on, but they get confirmed as well. Obviously, there's plenty of nice matchups in all of those, and we're going to all speculate about when the Packers are finally going to come out. But, you know, there's some all right teams in there. That's all we need to say at the moment.
Haven't the Oakland Raiders, they're not continuing their lease on the Coliseum?
That is a fascinating situation right now. The lease on the Coliseum isn't going to be renewed. So next weekend might be their last ever game in Oakland. And
wow.
There's some talk about them being nomadic, doing a couple of games here, a couple of games there. I would have thought that it might work, like, if they could add a fifth London game, potentially, and have the Oakland Raiders do back-to-back games in London to road test how that would work. Mm. I don't know how easy it would be to put that together, but if there is a way of doing it, go for it and do it. Obviously, they could play multiple games in Mexico. They've been looking at the University of Las Vegas stadium, so they can get in Vegas nice and early. San Diego and the Qualcomm's been talked about. Levi's has been talked about.
Didn't San Antonio,
Stanford's been talked about.
San, like, Antonio was talked about slightly as well.
I'd like to see, if they're going to do it, I'd like to see them stick in the Bay Area until they move to Vegas. So Stanford, or going up to the Cal Bears Stadium, which is in Berkeley, which is just up the road from Oakland. I'd much prefer that than they do like some cross country, or they go nomadic and do some of their games in that area for the fans there, but actually do some of the games.
So what you're saying is a game in Anchorage, Alaska is what you want?
100%. Toronto, Anchorage. Is Anchorage in, I thought it's what?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, I thought it was in Michigan.
Ann Arbor.
Oh, Ann Arbor, that's what you are, absolutely right. The California Stadium, 63,000. Cal Bears,
yeah,
could be
a
good location for them.
Either way, it's a great location wherever. Or either way, it's a great opportunity next year with touchdown trips to go and book and see Oakland Raiders in a unique stadium somewhere.
There you go. Well done, buddy.
Well, you know.
Shall we crack on with the weekend's games?
Yeah, let's do it. Is it a good slate of games, or is this one of those we're building up to the final 2 weeks, which is divisional?
No, this is a good slate of games, but there are some duffers in there amongst the good games, basically. Saturday, I'm really disappointed because we got our first Saturday games of the season, and I think they're the wrong way around. We start off with the Houston Texans on their 9-game winning tilt going to the New York Jets.
Well, they lost last week.
Hmm?
The Texans lost to the Colts last week.
Oh, yeah.
So they lost their 10th.
I'm just absolutely leaving that in. I'll accept tiredness. I'm all right with it.
Fine.
Off the back of their losing their 9-game winning tilt, see what I could have done.
Yeah, yeah.
One word away from getting it right. One word away from being correct. Looking to edge closer to their divisional title as they face the 4-9 Jets with their flipped record. Sam Darnold meant to be back and fully fit and really ready and raring to go. I think even though we had the Colts show that the Texans do have their flaws, I think the Jets O-line is just not good enough to be able to handle the Texans D-line. So I am leaning towards a road victory on Saturday afternoon.
And they're without their leading rusher and leading receiver in Crowell and Enunwa. The Jets are a dumpster fire. This surely is Bowles' last year. And yeah, I've got the Texans to maul them.
Amazingly, the Texans still very much in the second seed race, though. Same record as the New England Patriots. The Patriots have that very early season tiebreaker over them, so they'd need the Patriots to drop a game, but they're very much in the mix still. So I've taken the Texans. The reason I say I wish it was the other way around is because actually I think the Cleveland Browns in Denver to face the Broncos on the night game is kind of intriguing.
It is intriguing. Cleveland still have a chance of making the playoffs. as do the Broncos. Broncos laying that egg last week against your lot. Just dreadful, dreadful performance from them. And mm-hmm. a game that I think Vance Joseph said it, we just weren't up for it. We weren't ready. And I think they went into that game thinking, do you know what? We're going to beat these 49ers. They're rubbish. And they got kittled.
Absolutely kittled.
They got absolutely kittled. I like this matchup. Baker Mayfield, it'd be fun to watch Baker Mayfield close up and see what he's doing. He's refound the connection with Jarvis Landry.
His first half last week was unbelievably good. And we were saying about the baseball throws from Pat Mahomes in the Thursday night game. But I didn't realise what a range of passes Baker Mayfield could pull off. That 55-yarder to Jarvis Landry through the air where he kind of sidearmed that one and kept the ball low instead of doing the old-fashioned rainbow, because that was the only way he was going to get it in the window he could get it in. I was amazed at the distance and the pace that had on it. That was really impressive for a guy who isn't seen as being like a big arm talent guy necessarily. I thought it was great. Really great.
He's also, I love his escapability. He can move around, and you're going to need that when you've got Von Miller and one of the Chubb twins.
It's of course a Chubb off.
Yeah, Chubb off.
Must remember that.
Chubby.
And actually, because for one of those rare occasions where actually it could be a real Chubb off, because we might see Nick Chubb in blocking Bradley Chubb. Sadly, Denzel Ward, who they picked ahead of Bradley Chubb, is out for this one, second game with a concussion, which does take away from what they can do on defense, the Browns. But, you know, they're just a bit frisky. They've just gone on a nice little run recently. They are still in that playoff hunt. And the Broncos, without Chris Harris and without Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, is Chris Harris out?
Very good. Stealing someone else's joke, but it was worth it.
Well, it's an homage, I think.
An homage. Yeah. I'm going to take the Browns.
Yeah. Ooh, I'll take the Broncos.
Okay.
But I like the Browns, but I'm going to take the Broncos.
I did an Ollie Hunter 2 weeks ago and forgot to enter my picks. Now I'm nowhere in the title race at all, so I'm just quite happy to take some risks now. Let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll look forward to all of Sunday and Monday's games in Week 15. Ollie has made a sock puppet out of a spare mic muff, and it's getting really weird. Oh, God, I don't like it. Say something with it, then.
Hello.
That's what you came up with, was hello. Wonderful. Are you listening to The Gridiron Show? Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter in the studio. We're going to rattle through the Sunday games now. If there is a game which we don't feel has legitimate playoff implications, we are just going to very quickly snap through it, because your team will get talked about in the off-season and building up to the draft. We need to be focusing on what's coming in January. It's going to be a really good January. And we start off with a game which, even though one of the teams is only a game out of the playoffs, I think has no playoff relevance. That is Washington in Jacksonville to face the Jaguars.
Ugh.
The Jags are 7.5-point favourites, and they've only won 4 games all season.
Only won 4 games. They can't get anything going on offence whatsoever. The last time the Jags played in Jacksonville, they only scored 6 points, but they conceded 0. So
Washington are dead to me.
Washington, on multiple levels, are dead to me also. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm taking the Jags.
To win by 6 points to 0. To cover the spread.
Now, we go from a playoff irrelevant game to a very playoff relevant game. The 7-6 Miami Dolphins, still very much in the hunt for the wild card spot, level with the Ravens on record, face the 6-6-1 Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings fired their offensive coordinator last week. I read a really interesting article, I think it was on SI.com, about John DeFilippo and why he didn't succeed in Minnesota, and why the Mike Zimmer was reducing it far too much with, we didn't run the ball enough. But actually, you look at what Kirk Cousins did so well in Washington. Even though the run game wasn't spectacular and they didn't have particularly good running backs, a lot of their throwing concepts came out of the run game. So a lot of play action, a lot of bootleg stuff, a lot of on-the-move stuff, a lot where the offensive line could set up screens and things like that. So they did a huge amount of that, whereas the Vikings' offense was designed to just throw. It's like John DeFilippo went, we don't have any running backs, so why would we try and run the ball? And they became way too one-dimensional past the halfway point of the season. You say, I think it was you saying it, like Adam Thielen went on that incredible run and then has been not really a huge factor over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Kirk Cousins has had 3 out of 4 stinkers in recent weeks. So
what they didn't do was get Cousins and Diggs open. And also, Cousins and Diggs, Thielen's and Diggs open. But also, what Cousins and Washington did really well is use the tight end as another outlet. And Kyle Rudolph has been anonymous. He's barely caught a ball. And that has also affected them, because then all you have to do is either double cover or stun Thielen and Diggs off the line, and Cousins doesn't have anything because there's nothing else been designed for him.
17 points. That's how many teams the Minnesota Vikings have scored. How many points the Minnesota Vikings have scored over the last 2 weeks? 17 in total.
That is mental, and it's not all down to DeFilippo and to Cousins either. I think it was just a bad matchup and that got stale really quickly.
And it, the belligerent older defensive head coach, the young offensive mind, the new quarterback coming in who didn't really fit the scheme of that new, it kind of felt like we should have all realised this was doomed to fail a lot earlier, and we didn't. And
well,
now,
I did.
Well, okay, Ollie did, and now we're. Yeah, now we're seeing why it's such a problem. I still think Cousins can be a real success in Minnesota. Miami, I mean, if they play as well as they did against the Patriots last week, they'll win this game. It's as simple as that. The only problem is Miami are the ultimate rollercoaster team this season. Up, down, up, down, up, down. 3 wins to start the season, then dreadful for 4 or 5 weeks, and then wins like that over the Patriots. But you know what I'm going to call?
Go on.
Minnesota victory because of what we saw in the playoffs last year.
Okay, expand.
Minneapolis Miracle, win the game on the very last play, big emotional outpouring. What happened the next week? Laid an absolute egg against Philadelphia.
You're right.
And at the time, it was really interesting to hear the general manager of the Vikings, Rick Spielman, talk about, if you look at the history of games winning, games by last-minute touchdowns, walk-off touchdowns, the history is that there, it's something like 87% losses the following week because there's just such an emotional drain on the team. I think the Dolphins will go on the road to the colder Minnesota and just not fancy it. I think the Vikings will win, but I don't think it's going to be a good game of football.
I think the Vikings will win, and I agree with you. I think I think actually it will be more than the spread, which is 7.5 points. They would by 10 points or so.
The Tennessee Titans try to stay in the playoff hunt as they head to New York to face the Giants. 7-6 faces 5-8. The Giants have really turned themselves around in a effort to make their season appear relevant over the past 3 or 4 weeks. The Titans have won their last 2 games after falling off quite nastily. I mean, I like what Mike Vrabel's doing overall. This is a game which, this is one of those ones that it feels like the Titans should win this, and whenever that happens, they seem to drop the ball. So I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about this game.
It's a weird one because New York smashing Washington last week, but you can't really take that into consideration because of how bad Washington are. They did it without Odell Beckham. I'm just frantically trying to figure out whether he's going to suit up. I think he's doubtful to suit up on Sunday anyway. But they seem to get things done without him. From a Titans point of view, Derrick Henry went off last week, but they lost a huge person on that offensive line in Jonnu Smith, who was injured on that 99-yard scramble by Henry. And he's been brilliant blocking up front, setting that edge for both Henry and Deion Lewis.
And that's Jonnu Smith and Delanie Walker down for the season now. So.
Exactly. So
am I going to take the Giants? I think I might be taking the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah. We said games that don't matter, we won't talk about. So the 3-10 Arizona Cardinals going to face the Atlanta Falcons, who have lost 5 in a row and haven't scored more than 20 points in a game since the 1st of November. What's going on, Atlanta? You're a mess.
How are they 9.5 points favourite?
I have no idea. I'm going to take Atlanta because they're at home, but honestly, I don't care.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
Fine.
Because I love Fitzmagic.
Great.
That's Fitzgerald.
The proper Fitzmagic.
It's a great shout. It's the proper Fitzmagic.
The Japanese fighting fish.
Yes.
Flying, fighting, whatever it was. The Dallas Cowboys, 8-5, heading to face the 7-6 Indianapolis Colts. That much-vaunted Cowboys defense pulling off wins over the Super Bowl champion Eagles and the NFC number one seed elect New Orleans Saints over the last 2 weeks. They have been on a real upward trajectory, but so have those Indianapolis Colts. Oh, right, they had the real duffer against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but outside of that, Frank Reich is doing an unbelievable coaching job on these Colts. This is one of those games which we could hear an Ollie Hunter, well, if this was in Dallas.
And I'm not going to say that without but I'm thinking it. Look, Indianapolis have been amazing the last 6 or 7 weeks. As you said, the Jags game aside, T.Y. Hilton is unbelievable. He's been unbelievable. Clutch catches, finding space, touchdowns. He's doing everything. And when you've got Eric Ebron as the red zone threat, that allows T.Y. Hilton to go and do what he does. And I'm loving Andrew Luck at the moment. I mean, I say at the moment.
What do you mean at the moment? Always.
I love him. I love him always.
Love Andrew Luck.
He's brilliant. He's so much fun to watch. I'm taking the Colts in this.
I'm going to take the Colts as well. Yeah. I know that I shouldn't. I know Leighton Van Der Esch. I know the Cowboys' defense have been brilliant. I know they've won clutch games. I know on offense, Amari Cooper has offered them a huge amount more, and there's not a lot to stop them on the Colts. And the Cowboys are probably going to roll in there and win. But I've just got to have some faith that everything will be much more interesting if the Cowboys lose and the Colts win.
Leighton Van Der Esch is one of those players that you wish your team had.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
He's one of those players I wish that any team other than the Cowboys had.
That's a great point. Why do you hate the Cowboys so much?
I think it's mostly Richard Graves.
Well, you hate Richard Graves.
No, nobody hates Richard Graves. He's a lovely, lovely man.
What are you doing?
I was going to do an Insta story about us doing the podcast. I'm trying to be better on Instagram, at Will Gav. Posted a little thing about being in the studio with Big Al earlier and with my Christmas lights on. My Christmas lights still on? Did I turn them off? I don't remember doing that. I don't know where this has gone. Colts win. Colts win. Colts win.
Colts.
Raiders, Bengals. No one cares. I'm taking the Raiders because it's funny.
I'll take the Bengals. Why not?
The Detroit Lions facing the Buffalo Bills. I'm taking the Bills because it's cold.
Bills outside, cold Bills.
Buccaneers at Ravens. Oh, this really is a playoff game. I think the Ravens are going to... are going to continue their upward trajectory. They were good against the Chiefs. They were unlucky against the Chiefs. And I like these kind of drives they put together where Lamar Jackson just runs the ball four times for 45 yards on you and then just has to complete a couple of throws, hand it off a couple of times. I'm liking the Ravens right now. They're fun to watch in a very old school football way.
Joe Flacco's available, right? He's
huge. Flacco to the Jags.
Well, John Harbaugh has said
Jackson
will start under center. So we're going to see that's the end of Flacco, unless it's week 17, where he'll probably start his final game for the Baltimore Ravens.
Flacco to the Jags.
I'm not sure. I want to ask you, where do you think Flacco may end up? Because I've been thinking about the Jaguars.
The thing is, the Jags is the obvious landing spot. Yeah. The problem is money. Because Bortles will still be a 16 or 18 million cap hit, whatever that is, next year. And Flacco is an $18.5 million salary. So they're talking about using up, even with that extra cap room that they're going to have this season, they're talking about using up over a quarter of their cap on two quarterbacks, neither of whom are particularly great. So that is the only reason that I see it as less likely. But yeah, it's a big improvement on Blake Bortles, and he's won a Super Bowl, and Jacksonville's the obvious place if they can get enough dead weight off. I think like the likes of Malik Jackson will go. I don't know.
Jameis Winston will start for the Buccaneers. How do you think he's been since he's returned?
Much better. Much, much better. Looking after the ball a lot better. I think actually not a bad coaching job by Dirk Cutter, which is not something I'll say hugely often, but he's kind of got them. He's got him playing for the team and he's got him performing. I'm all right with it. I'm going to take the Ravens, though, because that defense is fearsome.
Yeah, defense is amazing. I'll take the Ravens.
I said we weren't going to talk about playoff games, so no need to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Am I right?
Do you see, so you're saying there's a chance? It's the smallest and tiniest of chances. But
well, it's not like you've got to go and face the best team in your division or anything.
Or the best defense in the division, yeah. But are we going to see, and we saw it more with the game against the Falcons last week. Stop faffing around on Instagram. Are we going to see more like last week against the Falcons where a lot of really quick throws, you've really put me off. Quick throws from Aaron Rodgers.
I'm really not going to do my actual job as well.
Out of his hands fast, into either Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams. Were they playing that way in preparation for this game, which is exactly what Aaron Rodgers needs to do, is get that ball out quick, nullify the fact that his offensive line won't be able to stop Khalil Mack and the rest of that Bears off defensive line. So I'm going to call a Green Bay win, but I think it's a lot of heart overhead.
Of course you are. And what? I love you for it. I'm going to send that little video to the group as well. I'm taking the Bears because I'm not an idiot. That being said, I am going to go heart over head when it comes to the next game, as the Seattle Seahawks are going to get tonks in San Francisco.
They're going to get kittled.
They're not going to get kittled. We will get beaten, and the Seahawks go to 9-5, and I will have to eat my hat over how I said they're nothing like a playoff team this season. At the beginning of the year, and I hope that the 49ers, this might be the season we finish above them for the first time in, what, 5 years. But instead, there's a little part of me that's like, if we keep a tight game but lose a tight game, I'm all right with it, because I quite wanted that number one overall pick in Nick Bosa.
What would you prefer? A win tomorrow, which really damages the Seahawks tomorrow, I say tomorrow, on Sunday, really damages the Seahawks,
I know what, or you're asking,
that number one pick? You get the number one pick if you lose and the Seahawks makes the playoffs, but If we beat them,
am I guaranteed that they will then lose to the Chiefs and then the Cardinals in order to go 8-8 and miss out on playoffs?
They're going to lose at least one of those games.
Yeah, but I think they're going to lose to the Chiefs anyway, so because they've got the Cardinals in Week 17, I feel like I want to say no. Had they had the Rams in Week 17, I'd be like,
they're going to lose.
Absolutely.
They're going to miss the playoffs.
If
but
we
you
beat
end
them,
up with the number four pick.
Why would we end up with the number four pick?
Because that's what I've given you.
So we've got to win two more games then.
You're going to win two more, but you fall out of that number
that Nick
one
Bosa race.
Nick Bosa race, Ed Oliver race. You're not going to get either of those.
But the Seahawks missed the playoffs.
But the Seahawks missed the playoffs.
I'm taking that option.
That's what a true fan should say. Well done, Willie. Especially as everyone thinks that you're a Rams fan now.
The New England Patriots face the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. The Patriots, 2.5-point favourites, 9-4. The 7-5-1 Steelers. The Steelers, who have dropped three in a row and just looked absolutely pants as of late.
They are a rollercoaster team.
They're 0-5 in their past five games against the Patriots, including that 27-24 loss in Heinz Field, where Jesse James should have scored a touchdown and they should have beaten them, and the Patriots wouldn't have got the seed, and the Jags would have got the Patriots home, and they'd have gone to the Super Bowl, and we'd have all seen a Jags-Eagles Super Bowl, and I don't care how unfashionable that is, I'd have loved it. But instead, that decision wasn't given. Yet again, the Patriots get lucky with a decision that then changes a rule because it was so ridiculous. A tuck rule. I don't know. Just the Steelers are not consistent enough for me. And on the offense, I just don't know. On the defense, I just don't know how they're going to line up to deal with James White, with Rob Gronkowski, with Edelman, with Chris Hogan, with Gordon. It doesn't work for me. There's too many weapons. There's too many options for the Patriots. And they're too well matched up on the Steelers' zone defense. I'm going to take the Patriots to go into Pittsburgh and get a win.
I wonder what the record is for teams that have been on the receiving end of a walk-off touchdown, where the emotion has been
so
high.
That's a really great question. We should look into it sometime. Not now, though. Who are you taking?
I'm going to take the Pats, but yeah,
Don't get me wrong, I also love the fact that they're going to have to go. I think what they should do this weekend is put Stephon Gilmore over Juju Smith-Schuster one-on-one and then double the McCourty twins on Antonio Brown. I think if they do that and they really go for a matchup defense, that will shut down what the Steelers want to do on offense. The only reason I think the Steelers have got a real chance at this is because they have got two number one receivers, legitimately that good.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to take the Pats because I have the last 15 to 20 years of experience behind me. Carson Wentz is probably going to be sitting against the Rams. Nick Foles comes in. The Eagles are 6-7. The Rams are 11-2. Any way that the Eagles turn their season around on Sunday, Ollie?
Not a chance.
We're taking the Rams. Let's move on. Yep. New Orleans at the Carolina Panthers.
Oof.
The Panthers, Monday Night Football. I'm sorry we dismissed that game at hand, but you know what? If you want to listen to us talk about it, Sunday night from midnight on TalkSport. Saints-Panthers. I'm taking the Saints.
Panthers have been dreadful, haven't they?
They've lost four on the bounce. despite the fact they've got so many weapons on offense, they're really exciting to watch. They've been disappointing that they've not been able to put games away. I think Ron Rivera should be in trouble. If he's not, he should be.
Well, he's did the thing of firing assistants and coordinators and stuff rather than taking the blame himself. I'm going to take the Saints.
Wicked. Right. I've got to do my real job. I don't know where that came from.
Wicked.
Ollie, any final thoughts?
It's time to face the music and dance.
We're going to look forward to the weekend's action for the televised games with our friends at redzone.bet. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter, we bid you adieu, and we'll see you next week when it's nearly Christmas. Right, joining us now for a bit of a bumper betting preview, considering we've got so much televised action this weekend from redzone.bet, our good friend Warren. Warren, so many games to get into this weekend, so let's crack straight on. Saturday evening, the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. It seems like the Texans pretty heftily favoured in this one.
Yeah, it's a 6.5 line. So if you want to back the Texans as favourites at 6.5, and the over-under is 42.5. The Texans, you know, that would have chased a little bit last week, getting beaten by the Colts, wouldn't it? And, you know, everything says they should go in and manhandle the Jets. I just have I don't like opposing a home dog when you're giving up 6.5 points. And there's a lot of pressure on Houston. And I'm going to have a sneaky surprise bet on the New York Jets plus 6.5, which is 51-50. The over-under is 42.5, as I said. But I just think the Jets, they've started to play a little bit better, although they can still lose from anywhere, but the win last week against the Bills showed they've got some fight in them, and I just fancy to keep the game close.
We've then got the Cleveland Browns in Denver to face the Broncos. I quite like the Browns for a bit of an upset in this one, but I feel like I might be on a bit of an island on this.
No, do you know what? I am all upon the Browns wagon, definitely. I think that they're a team that is definitely trending upwards. The Broncos had a little peak a few weeks ago. It's sort of coming back down to earth again. The line is 2.5 points, and the over-under is 45.5 on our site. I will be taking the Cleveland Browns plus 2.5. I think that they're just an all-round better football team. They're starting to find some rhythm on offense, and their defense is really, you know, really coming on as well. So if you're going to give me a pick, I will take Cleveland Browns. All the pressure's on Denver again. Cleveland are playing with, although they can still technically make the playoffs, they're playing with a little bit of freedom, and there's no pressure on them. So they're enjoying themselves, and they're a dangerous foe for anyone at the moment.
I agree. I still, you know, outsiders for the playoffs, I still, until that dream is dead, I will cling on to it for all my life. To the normal Sunday games, 6 o'clock, Miami Dolphins at the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, there's certainly plenty of playoff implications here.
Yeah, you know, I think this is another exciting game. Let me have a look at the line on our site. Let me find out where we are. So we're looking at Dolphins and Vikings. Now, Dolphins are 7.5 point underdogs. Now, and the over-under is 44.5. The line opens at 8, which I think is too high. It's just 7.5 is about bang on. But this is, I could be wrong, egg on my face. I think you will see plenty of people piling into Miami plus 7.5 over the next 24 hours, 48 hours. And I suspect that line may very well drop to 7. If it drops to 7 or less, I will be on the Minnesota Vikings. So at 7.5, it's sort of no bet for me. At 8, it would be Dolphins. But if it goes to 7 like I think it was, I think you should back the Minnesota Vikings at this, because I think they're at home. The Dolphins, yeah, they had that great, fantastic win, unless you're a Patriots fan, last week with the miracle laterals in Miami. But I do think that the Vikings at home are a different proposition. And, you know, let's not forget, I stayed up to the early hours watching them at the Seahawks last Monday, and it was 6-0 until the last sort of, you know, drive we thought it was going to be. And then suddenly the Seahawks go over, and then all hell breaks loose. So I think that bar a couple of stupid plays and not using Thielen at all in the first half, I think they will rectify that against Dolphins, and I expect the Vikings to give the Dolphins a very good game, and I think they're going to cover a 7-point spread, but I think anything above 7, you sort of, you pay your money, you take your chance.
I'll tell you now, the come down off an emotional last minute win, statistically, teams are terrible after a walk-off touchdown the following week. It's a dreadful win-loss ratio for those teams. So that's why I'm backing the Vikings to do well. We've then got the team that they beat last weekend, the New England Patriots, heading to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers.
Yeah, the line here is 2.5 points on our site. So New England's 2.5-point favourites. The over-under's 53.5. You know, I think you never want to be playing New England after they've just been smacked in the chops. That's my advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Steelers are under a hell of a lot of pressure at the moment now. Suddenly the wheels are coming off. And I think New England going in there with Bill Belichick fleeing a number of players' ears, not least Gronkowski for that pathetic attempt at block at the end of the game. I imagine New England would take care of business. And I would back them to cover. As long as the line doesn't go above 3, I would be back in New England. So New England -2.5, 25-28 on our site.
And then Sunday Night Football, the Eagles, the Nick Foles-led Eagles. Could it be another miracle for Nick Foles? Maybe not, as they head to Los Angeles to face the Rams.
Well, it's a funny one. This is a high line, 12 points.
Wow.
You know, and that's the Super Bowl champions coming in to LA. And the over-under is 52.5. Now, you know, I think that everybody has beaten up the Philadelphia secondary this season, haven't they? And, you know, I think Robert Woods in the slot for Goff is a nice target for him. And I think he's going to be used a lot. And I can see them putting up some points, certainly. But Goff, you know, Goff is, again, beginning to sort of trend downward. That Bears defense got after him. And I think in the last few games, people have seen a way to beat the Rams. And I think, you know, Philly are also sort of smarting after losing that game last week when, you know, it was, again, a remarkable game at the end. Don't you remember, I tipped the unders in Philly-Dallas last week, and I thought I was the smartest man alive until about the last quarter when they just seemed to just go toe-to-toe. But it was about 10 to 13 points, I think, in the first half. I remember off the top of my head, I can't remember. But, yeah, I think the unders in this is attractive, actually. Under 52.5, I do think the Rams will win the game. Will they cover a 12-point spread? That's a dangerously high line to me. But I think Philly might continue to struggle to score. And I think the Rams are just going to play a little bit safer, perhaps, and try and just take care of business in a more business-like way. Business in a business-like way, that's great.
I'll tell you something to look out for in this game as well. We had to go over this game quickly earlier because me and Ollie both had to run off and do our own jobs. Is that teams, the Lions showed how to do it, and then it's the natural way that the Bears set up with the two deep safeties in that cover two or cover six style. That's something the Eagles have had to do more and more in recent weeks with all their cornerback injuries. So that is the way to match up on the Rams. I think the Eagles will do it, which is why I do quite like the Eagles to cover. And like you say, lower scoring than many might expect. Let's finish off with Monday Night Football, all NFC South, the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers.
This is a great game, let me tell you. This is, you know, the Panthers need a result. The New Orleans Saints, the comeback against Tampa, you know, is overshadowing the fact that New Orleans have struggled. They struggled against the Cowboys, and they were struggling in the first half against Tampa. You know, again, it's a little bit like the Rams, just losing a little bit of momentum. I think they will get it back. You know, they were our outright tip for the Super Bowl at the start of the year. But again, going into the Carolina is a dangerous place. The line is 6 points. So Carolina at home, 6-point underdogs. The over-under is 50.5. I'm going to be backing Carolina for that. I think that they have a very competitive record against the Saints. And I just think that, again, the Saints, they're not clicking on offense as they once were. And in playing away, I just think that you want to be with the home dog.
I'm taking the road favorites. So there we go. We'll just have to agree to disagree.
We'll have to have a little side £5 bet on that one. I think me and you. That's who buys the beers when we see each other next.
I'll take it. It's done. We'll do that. No problem. Brilliant stuff as always, Warren. Full terms and conditions at redzone.bet. It is of course over 18s only, and please gamble responsibly. Cheers, Wazza.
No problem. We'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.